You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on August 11th, 2021, and is titled, Once I Was Blind, But Now I See. Grab your Bible, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 9, and let's join Steve and the message.
We actually had 14 weeks of church in one night. I thought we could take about 3 months off. I thought we were caught up. But for those of you that weren't here, I don't know how many people got a touch from God up here and healed and whatnot. A whole pile of them. We baptized 7 or 8 of them right off the cuff last week. Nobody brought swimming trunks or towels or anything else. So now you know you're doing something. So our God's doing something. We really don't do anything. Jim Murphy and I were talking about it today at the cow sale. He said, what's your plan tonight? I said, I don't have one. He said, if I show up, you want me to bring a guitar? And I said, yeah, it'd be great. But I'm telling you, the days of me having a plan are over. We've been doing this without a plan now for a long time. And we're seeing how that works. And did you girls ever write that down? All right, I'll get it during the singing. I'll get it so we can do that. Hey, but anyhow, just not have a plan and just follow however God wants to go. And, you know, we know on Wednesday nights we're going to be here, Tuesday morning we're going to be here, Sunday morning we're going to be here. But other than that, kind of know where I am in the scriptures. But that just telling God every day you get together, hey, God, just so you know, this is how I'm going to do this today. And just so you know, God, here's my calendar, and this is how I'm going to do it for the next 6 months. I did that. That's probably not, this is sure working better, not knowing what the heck you're doing really works better. I went to San Diego Monday. We, just to catch everybody up right quick, last Thursday, after we got done here Wednesday night, we went to Austin. And so here again, right off the cuff, I mean, y'all kind of know the story. God just opened the door for us to walk right in the state capitol to have a room. The timing was absolutely perfect. Everybody had left. The house was swept clean. Now, if anybody knows your Bible, you'll know what that means. That house was swept clean. The opportunity to invade that premises with the kingdom of God was wide open. We didn't know when we set that up that the governor was going to have an emergency session, and they all got called back in on that Saturday. So we had this whole vacant capital, so to speak, on Friday, and then everybody came back. There was 44, 45 people showed up from all over the place. We had people from here, people from all over Texas, and New Mexico, showed up about 45 ahead of us, and we prayed for 2 solid hours without a plan, without an agenda, and God began to move in men and women around there and began to give words and began to pray, and we used up our entire time. I don't know if anybody thought it was a waste of time. I hadn't heard from them yet, but everybody else, it was pretty cotton-picking awesome. And so we turned around, come back, and I jumped on an airplane and went to San Diego. Yeah. And you know what? How many of you Texans have had any preconceived notions about Southern California? Do you know where I saw the most weirdos on that trip? DFW Airport. Yep. I mean, they were grotesque. DFW Airport was grotesque. Southern California, San Diego, that was as clean and as normal and as American as any place as I've been. And I learned something while I was there. It was another one of those deals. I didn't know anybody involved. I get a phone call from a couple guys that want to put a horse sale on in Southern California. There's a guy there that has bought this amazing facility in Temecula, California, and I've never met him in my life, never met them guys wanting to do a horse sale. for the last months, I have turned down every opportunity that's come my way because we've had other things to do. And these guys call, and I told her, I said, I don't know what the heck, but I'm going to go to California. We're going to take a look. And so we get out there. Well, y'all know my Face South Dakota story where airplanes got canceled. I'll just be real honest with you. While I'm driving 11, I'm supposed to catch that very same flight. 6:10 Monday morning, I'm supposed to be flying. So 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm leaving town. The whole time over, I'm thinking, God, I hope they cancel this flight. And I'll just turn around, go home, and life will be normal. I don't know these guys, nothing. I'll just turn around, go back. I get off the airplane in San Diego, and these guys have been blowing my phone up. Their flights got canceled. So now the guys that are supposed to pick me up at the airport and show me around, the guys supposed to be hiring me, the guys that bought my plane ticket, they ain't coming. So I'm standing there in my cowboy hat in San Diego, and anyhow, the guy that owned the property, he just come got me, and we'd never met, and we became friends over 2 days. Everybody that works at that ranch there, we either knew each other personally or we knew everybody around each other. Come to find out, I knew all the history of it. Used to be an amazing cutting horse facility and blah, blah, blah. So had a wonderful time. And by the time we got done, we're still talking about having a horse sale. But by the time we're headed to the airport, we're trying to figure out how to have some type of cowboy church service. Come to find out there's a ton of Coffee with the Colonel people in Southern California. And it turned into a really cool time. Here again, it's just about making kingdom connections. You don't go places. In the kingdom of God, you don't go places just to make money. Because in my life, you don't know if you're going to make any or not. But you go by the leading of the Holy Spirit to where you find these kingdom connections. You see, every one of you is a kingdom connection. If you're born again, you're a kingdom connection. This is where we're so screwed up in this country and in the church. Because we count the kingdom of God as something else, and we're not involved in it now. But the kingdom's involved in us. So somebody may walk through your door to find their way to Jesus or find their need or whatever it is they got going on, and to be that kingdom person. So through all this mess we've been in, and then Robin and I traveling around the country, if we've learned anything, it's the kingdom connections. So we have a real hard time saying no to people now because that might be a kingdom connection. I have some kingdom connections now in Southern California. That's a good thing. So one of these days, when Christians finally figure this out, you'll realize that there's more of us than there are them. This little small group of people that act like the governor of New Mexico or the governor of California, we're getting a new governor of New York. Praise the Lord. I mean, you couldn't get worse, so it's got to go up. But this little group, I was thinking about George Soros this morning. I mean, honest to God, he's the sorriest human being that ever drawed a breath on the face of the earth. I mean, he is a total advocate for Satan himself. Doesn't believe there's a God. He's a God. Got a lot of money. But I'll make a bet with you today. I'll bet you if you'll take all his assets, all his money, and put it in a pile, and if you could get all of us kingdom connections to show up on the same day and put all our stuff in a pile, I'll bet you our sandbox is fuller than his. There's not one thing this little minute group of people have that we don't have or we don't have access to. But now there's a lot that we have that they don't have. You see, the enemy comes first to steal. Anybody feel like you've been robbed of anything the last 18 months? Maybe even the last 18 years. And then he's going to kill. How many of you ever felt like he's trying to kill your Christian faith? How many of you feel like there's an entity out there that wants to kill Christianity in America today? Yeah. You see, if he can steal off you long enough that he can kill your faith, then he'll destroy your nation. But the first thing he's going to do is destroy your kitchen table. Anybody seen any of that go on in the last two decades? Yeah. But what I'm figuring out while we're dropping off out of airplanes and parking campers and stuff all over the country, there is a pile of us. The kingdom connections, they're everywhere. Everywhere. Why in the world would a group of Christians trip over their lip or cow down or pretend to be a doormat or that Christian bobblehead, you know, turn the other cheek till your head comes off? You know, what day do you just finally come together and say, look, we love y'all, but we ain't moving. We're not changing our ideals. We're not changing our thoughts. We're going to educate our own kids. We're educating our own kids. Floyd, New Mexico is fighting a big fight. The whole state of New Mexico is going to be fighting it before it's over. Let me tell you something, Texas. I've been all over the country. The biggest pile of weirdos you'll find is right here in Texas now. You'll find people that are absolutely downright disgusting right here in your own state. So don't get too haughty about who you are as a bunch of Texans. We all got it coming. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's nobody. Nobody can tell you how to educate your children. Unless you need somebody else to pay for your shoulder pads. Somebody else to pay for your coaching staff. Somebody else to pay for your weight room. Or your cheerleading bus. See, if you need somebody to pay for all the extras, then you're probably going to have to let somebody else handle the reading, writing, and arithmetic. Today, you're going to take care of your own stuff. See, I was explaining this to a group of people today, us rodeo people, we get it. Because we bought our own practice uniforms. We bought our own gas. We built our own playing fields. We've tended to our own. So we get that. But if you need Pharaoh's billfold, just know you're going to have a hard time unhooking from Pharaoh. And the church is falling in the same trap because they don't want to get in trouble by Pharaoh. So they guard their tongue and guard their messages and guard their actions. They'll guard their pews in case somebody would walk out of here and the coffers would seem to deplete just a tick. Let me tell you right now, you're not my source. God Almighty is my source. And he'll take care of my education, my recreation, and everything in between. So, one of these days when we pile up, and we all stand up, say, you know what? I think we're just going to tend to what's ours. You'll look around one of these days and you'll realize what's ours amounts into way more than what somebody else's. Those of us who belong to the kingdom of God, we've been given everything necessary for life and godliness. And if you'll seek ye first that kingdom and his righteousness, everything will be added to you. We've just got to unify. And we're not divided by state. We shouldn't even be divided by denomination or anything else. We should be unified by one faith, one spirit, one baptism, because of one God. When we do that, really? Now, who's going to gang up against us? And what uncircumcised Philistine just wants to yap his flap at a bunch of people in covenant with God? So my trip to Southern California, my trip to Austin, which, by the way, I was right next to the ocean. You know what I saw next to the ocean in San Diego? Big stinking boats. They got big stinking boats. I'm talking about big boats. Yeah. I mean, you got to have a lot of line on your rod just to get it over the edge. Yeah. You know what I saw in Austin? A mess. Yeah. People living on oceanfront property without paying for anything. Making a mess. And thank God there's people coming around there cleaning it. I wanted to park and just watch them a little bit. They had one of them crane thingies, you know, and they was getting them tents and all that junk and putting in the trash deal. And somebody said, well, I hope the people got out of the tent. And I said, just saying, they probably just going to put up another tent. But that's my little encouragement before we get started tonight. God's people are everywhere. His kingdom connections, start looking for them. And start being one. The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. And out in this great United States of America, there's a lot of good folks. You think about the state of New Mexico. There's a few that make a lot of noise because the masses are working, tending to their business, working with their hands, being a burden to no one is what the Bible says. And then you got this handful of empty wagons. You know what the Bible doesn't say, but common sense does? Empty wagons make a lot of noise. But the good news is water runs off a duck. So that's just my little pep talk for tonight. We're gonna sing a couple songs. I thought I'd talk long enough that Murph would come trotting in here with his guitar, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen. We'll sing a couple songs, and I've got a good word tonight right out of the book of Acts and about the awakening of Saul of Tarsus, and it really is a good word tonight. So we'll sing a little bit here, and let me pray, and we'll get started. Lord Jesus, I just thank you tonight. Thank you for those who came, those who are watching tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, we know it's not about the numbers. I pray for your church, Lord, that the kingdom, your kingdom, and that, God, we would rise up out of the muck, the muck of our creating, and we'd rise up and be your people, and be known to be your people, that, Lord, through us, you would bring revival to the land. Lord, we would wake up, stand up. God, we would stand for what's right, and we'd claim what is ours. And God, we know you stand with us, Jesus. And so, Lord, we bless you tonight. Let your word carry your anointing. Equip the saints tonight, Lord. A harvest is plenty, the workers are few, but God, I got a great group of them right here. Speak to us tonight so we can get out of here tonight and be powerful and be effective in this earth. Exposing your kingdom to the whole world. We love you, Lord. We bless you, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Y'all do whatever you want to. My band was a little off tonight. I apologize for them. But thank y'all for tolerating us. You know, it's just one of them things, like the whole time, and I don't want to belittle anybody's chance to worship there a little bit, but the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm going, I wish this song get over so I get that Bible open and get up there and do what we came to do. So turn your Bible to Acts chapter 9. I think that's become a little bit of a problem in modern-day Christianity. I think that we like so much of the stuff that it encompasses everything, and then we make time for a little bit of Scripture. Make time for a little bit of God's word. You know, you can only take so much. Well, you people around here, you know better than that. You all can take the whole load of hay at one sitting. And so that's what we come to do tonight. It's a very important story we're going to talk about in Acts chapter 9 tonight. This is a big deal right here. This is where Saul of Tarsus now becomes the Paul of the Bible. 9 epistles. Words of encouragement for over the last 2,000 years to help the church. Words of instruction to the church. Words of comfort. Words of testimony. Words of example. But more than anything, the words of the Holy Spirit that operated through a man. And it all happened right here in Acts chapter 9 is when it all changed. Every one of you in your life has an Acts chapter 9 somewhere. You should. You know, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but if I ask you when you got born again, you say, well, I grew up in church. So what? I had to live in a garage one time for a while, and it didn't make me a car. You know? There's a day when the kingdom of God is revealed. Why is this so important? Because not only is this a story today about one man that God used to change the course of history, but it could be the story of you and your kitchen table. It could be the story of your community. It could be the story of your school. It could be the story of this United States of America on the day when one more time the kingdom is revealed and it changes the landscape forever. So Acts chapter 9, that's why I wasn't tapping my foot to the music a minute ago. I was just wishing I'd have picked one song so we could get in the Word. Acts chapter 9, let's read a little and see what God says here. Then Saul, and you remember back in chapter 8, you know, he was standing right there when Stephen got stoned, mentioned him in the Bible, and he would beat Christians and murder some of them, and he was mean. But look, he was a high member of the church. Anybody ever known any high members of the church that were mean? Yeah. Well, Saul, he was that guy. It was because of Jesus. I've met a lot of people who believe that there's a God somewhere, and they're not against God. They just don't know God. And then there's people who are so steeped in their religion that they can't handle the truth of the Bible or don't want to conform to the truth of the Bible, and people just keep Jesus. You see, Jesus is the revealer of the kingdom of God. Jesus, the Bible says that God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. The book of Colossians says that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. So it's all about Jesus. And because of Jesus, Paul went nuts. If it hadn't been for Jesus, Paul would have acted normal. But Jesus stirred things up. Why do you think you got a problem today? Do you think that the troubles in our world today are simply about power and money? If our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against the forces of evil, the principalities of darkness, things in the spiritual realm, then maybe it's about Jesus. Maybe that's where the battle really lies, is in the kingdom of God. I'm just listening to the Lord here just a little bit, but how many of y'all belong to or know of different religious groups that now for decades have developed programs and different things to become palatable to the outside world? Change the music, change the lighting. How many of y'all noticed around here we don't do anything to be palatable except cinnamon rolls? And those just came. Those are a gift from God who came from a little angel over here. And so he's helped us out there. We don't do anything to become palatable. I don't need the world to accept me. The world needs to conform to Jesus. I don't need your acceptance. As long as I'm fine with God, I'm fine. And so we see God intervene in a man's life to change the course of everything. But when you want to conform to the pattern of the world rather than bring in the reality of Jesus, then you may not be serving God.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message, Once I Was Blind, But Now I See. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.